back to the debt ceiling. The reason we're going back to the debt ceiling is because obviously they still haven't reached an agreement in Washington at this point. People are beginning to doubt if they ever will. Therefore, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has offered up his plan B, although to be honest, this is probably plan M, N, or O. It's a contingency plan. It would give President Obama some incredible powers to raise the debt ceiling 3 times in the next year on his own, without any approval from Congress. McConnell says he proposed this plan because it seems clear a deal will not be reached by that August 2nd deadline. So he's trying to reassure markets that the United States will not default on its debts. Joining us now, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, Celeste.
And happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. maybe for your birthday, we'll get a deal on the debt ceiling. Wouldn't that be an awesome birthday present?
It would mean that I don't have to keep covering it and I can go to the beach. Yeah.
All right. Well, the point here is that should we see this or interpret this plan coming from Mitch McConnell as perhaps an acknowledgement? Maybe he's throwing in the towel. Maybe this is him saying, look, let's just do the debt ceiling part of it because there's so much gridlock in Washington that we're not going to be able to agree on anything else.
That's what his right flank thinks. After Mitch McConnell announced this plan yesterday, Celeste, the right, the Tea Party, and the conservatives went wild. Twitter lit up. They are as angry as can be at Mitch McConnell, and here's why. You're right. The plan would allow the president to simply request 3 separate debt limit increases from Congress totaling $2.5 trillion, which is about what they're trying to negotiate over at the White House. The Congress would have to vote to disapprove that. And if Congress voted to disapprove, obviously, the president would veto it. And then you would only need 1/3 of one house to sustain. You know, like when you try to override something, right, you need 2/3 of both houses. That would be the same. So you only need 1/3 of one house to say, no, we're going to sustain that veto. Debt limit raised. Now, what does that do? That means basically, like you said, the president would be able to raise the debt limit simply by asking. Congress could stop him, but they probably wouldn't. And the right went crazy because it does prevent a default, but it prevents any of the really hard choices that they're talking about now. Remember, Republicans chose this moment, raising the debt limit and lowering spending, cutting the debt by $2.5 trillion or $4 trillion or whatever they're trying to do, are really 2 separate things. They're only linked right now because Republicans have chosen to link them because they want to finally cut spending, and this is their political moment. So Freedom Works, which is a big Tea Party group headed by Dick Armey, the former House Majority Leader, Eric Erickson of RedState.com, who's a CNN commentator and a conservative leader, tweeting on the internet, Mitch McConnell has lost his spine, calling him a weasel. They really hate this because they think it punts and it allows it basically gives up the moment. Is that the case? Did Mitch McConnell blink and give up the moment, or has he put the entire debt limit increase squarely in Barack Obama's lap? Because this plan allows Barack Obama, if he has to raise the debt limit, and not a single Republican ever has to vote for it. So is it a blink, or is it a brilliant political move that inoculates Republicans, or both? Probably a little bit of both.
As Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent, also with us this morning, Steve Smith, who's a professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Celeste.
You know, you deal with the history of politics all the time, and I'm wondering, you know, at this moment when many people are feeling frustrated with going on in Congress, what historical precedent do we have here for this kind of disagreement in Congress?
Well, you know, this is a difficult situation for finding precedents. You know, the Congress usually finds some way to weasel through a difficult situation, a temporary extension, that kind of thing. But the debt ceiling was more of a fixed deadline, a lot different than the usual kind of deadline, which is usually a spending bill deadline. And spending bill deadline can be dealt with by temporary extensions of spending authority. And there was some thought that they could have a temporary extension of a debt limit, but the House Republicans were swearing off that as an option. You know, the Republicans always look to 1995 when Speaker Gingrich held President Clinton's feet to the fire on a big budget plan. The Republicans then wanted radical changes in the view of Democrats, radical changes in the structure of federal spending as a condition for getting spending authority for federal agencies. President Clinton called their bluff and said, no, I'm not going to agree to your plan. You've got to pass these spending bills. The House Republicans got their backs up and actually failed to pass the spending bills. Government shut down for a while. And in the end, the House Republicans relented and gave the president his spending bills. And the House Republicans suffered a huge political black eye.
Yeah.
The result was is that President Clinton's standing in the polls raised, and it set him up nicely for a re-election bid. The Republicans this time wanted to avoid that. And so from the beginning, Speaker Boehner was saying that he did not want to create a crisis by failing to increase the debt limit. But he wanted to use the bargaining leverage, especially many of his colleagues wanted to use the bargaining leverage they have to get a deal on major cuts in spending.
Yeah.
Well, then the president upped the ante, and that's where things have fallen apart here in the last week.
Let's actually take a listen. We have a comment here. This is Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich speaking in 1998 to his Republican colleagues.
I would say, for just a minute, if I might, to my friends who were asking for a no vote, the perfectionist caucus. And then what would you do under our Constitution? Unless you have a plan that you think can get 218 votes over here, can pass through without a filibuster in the Senate, and get signed, there is no responsible vote except yes.
All right, so Todd Zwillick, that's kind of an optimistic example, at least in the case that they did get an agreement in the end and they balanced the budget. Can you see John Boehner making that kind of statement to his colleagues?
Democrats love to toss out that statement right on John Boehner and the Republicans because it leads back to 1998, and they feel like the Republicans have a perfectionist caucus now. It's called the Tea Party, who won't accept anything. They say it's my way or the highway over in the House, and that's what's really causing the roadblock to the deal. So if 1998 was possible and Newt Gingrich could make that speech to his own party saying, guys, get with it, could it happen now? Sure, it could. But the Tea Party is so hardened against the debt limit, so hardened against Barack Obama, it's a little hard to imagine any of them signing on. You got to find the votes elsewhere.
That's Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent, and also with us Steve Smith, professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. We have to do some headlines now, but we're going to come back in just a couple minutes and talk a little bit more about whether it's gridlock in Washington or perhaps, as Todd Zwillick suggests, some brilliant negotiating from Mitch McConnell. We'll be back in a minute. We want to continue our discussion now about the negotiations over the debt ceiling, especially in light of the new proposal from Mitch McConnell. That proposal from Mitch McConnell would give sweeping powers to the president so that he could, pretty much without approval of the Congress, raise the debt ceiling three times over the next year. We're joined again by Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent, and Steve Smith, professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. And Steve, you know, let me ask you, to a certain extent, I mean, the debt ceiling historically, the reason we have this debt ceiling was to kind of take control and quell arguments after the Civil War, arguments that seemed insurmountable, in which the South didn't want to pay off the debts of the war that were incurred by the North. Maybe if they weren't looking for a huge, broad deal and they just limited it to the debt ceiling, as Mitch McConnell wants to do, maybe we wouldn't have gridlock.
Well, that's what a lot of folks say, but, you know, it's probably not true. The next deadline, really, in the federal fiscal picture is October 1, when all the appropriations bills, the bills that give spending authority to most agencies, have to be passed. That's the date the new fiscal year begins. If the House Republicans don't get some leverage over the Democrats and the administration on the debt limit, or lose it because McConnell, who wants to insert himself into this game, feeling a little left out, I think, wins with an alternative proposal, I think we'd see the House Republicans then using these spending bills as their next source of leverage. And honestly, there's not a whole lot that Mitch McConnell could do about that if they chose to do that. So, you know, one way or another, the House Republicans are going to try to get some leverage and force the Democrats to accept something in the way of substantial spending cuts. That's at least their view. We might, dodge a bullet here in the next couple of weeks, but over the next couple of months, we're going to be back to where we started.
That's Steve Smith, a professor of political science at Washington University in Missouri's. Todd Zwillick, you know, I wanted to play this clip again that we used earlier. This is President Obama speaking about John Boehner.
The politics that swept him into the speakership were good for a midterm election. They're tough for governing.
All right. So we were talking a lot about Steve Smith was just talking about Mitch McConnell trying to feeling a little bit left out. That's because all eyes seem to be on John Boehner at this point. Will he actually make a deal with the president as Newt Gingrich did, or will he bow to pressure, especially from the Tea Party, and stay firm to his guns? What's your guess?
John Boehner has been trying to make the deal. You know, John Boehner's the one who was talking to the president for weeks about, yes, let's try something big. Let's try a $4 trillion deal. Let's use this moment in a great big way to really talk about entitlements. And yes, maybe we'll talk about revenue. Now, John Boehner says a tax increase was never really on the table, but that's always been part of the mix as far as the president was concerned. The president's comment about John Boehner, you know, that it was great for the election, but hard for governing. You know, there is the Tea Party caucus in the House has 87 members, and there are other conservatives who are not Tea Partiers who are also committed, many of them, not to raise the debt limit no matter what. There's a lot of purity in the House right now, Celeste, and purity makes it really, really hard to pass something. And the problem is that the Purity Caucus, I'll call them that, you know, my words, because some of them are Tea Partiers, many of them aren't, is really, really big. Remember the shutdown debate that we had just a couple of months ago, the last spending debate? That was only about $38 billion, measly $38 billion, and John Boehner needed about 50 Democrats to get that thing passed because he couldn't rally enough Republicans even to pass that. Now we're talking about trillions. Will he get enough? That's the question in the next couple of weeks.
Well, you call it the Purity Caucus. Newt Gingrich in the 1980s called it the Perfectionist Caucus. But the question is, at some point, the debt ceiling has to be raised, right?
It does. And, you know, they can raise the debt ceiling. They can agree to raise the debt ceiling without doing a great big spending cut. There are ways to do this deal where everybody
can claim
a little bit of victory.
Yes. Wait a second. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there are ways to raise the debt ceiling without doing a big spending cut. I thought
yes.
You just said that the Purity Caucus won't agree to raise the debt ceiling without spending cuts.
They won't. But how many Republicans would relent in the promise for spending cuts later? You know, they can raise the debt limit with, let's say, a $2.5 trillion cut. This is just one scenario that could work to get us out of this temporarily. Forget about the big cuts, the $4 trillion cut. Raise the debt limit with a $2.3 trillion cut, but there's no tax increases in there so that a couple of Republicans can vote for it, and they don't touch Medicare or Social Security. It's kind of it is a little bit of a kick the can, but it does what the president says we have to do, which is gets us beyond the election. $2.3 trillion is barely a dent in the $14.3 trillion national debt that we have. So it would solve the political crisis for the moment and let us move on to the next crisis, which is 2012 spending, as Steve says. So it is possible to do that. I'm not saying they'll be able to do that, but it is possible. You know, Celeste, they can raise the debt limit between now and get us to the election and say, okay, we'll just cut a trillion. Because remember, it's hard to remember this, raising the debt limit by $2.5 trillion and however much you cut spending are only linked because the politicians have linked them. They don't have to be equal. The political moment wants them to be equal, but they can cut spending however much or however little they really want. Same with taxes.
That's Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. Steve Smith, professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. Do we have historical precedent for this thing that Todd is calling the Purity Caucus? Have we had a Purity Caucus before in our history, and how did we handle it?
Well, of course, we really had, for most of the last quarter century, a block of Republicans in the House of Representatives whose view is that you have to use every opportunity to maximize your leverage against the other side. They want to reduce the role of government, and they felt during the Bush years that many opportunities were missed to make substantial changes in federal spending. They got elected in 2010, many of them, promising never to compromise again. And so they're not unique in that they are elected with a real commitment to a cause, but they are unique in that they're so large, they're in the majority party, and they're holding sway over what happens in the House.
Well, they're in the majority party in the House, at least, not in the Senate or in the executive branch in the White House, which makes that even more difficult. That's Steve Smith, professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, and, of course, Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent and birthday boy, talking about debt ceiling negotiations that at this point seem to be at a standstill. Thanks to both of you.